For he's always glad when everything's bad, cause then his collections are good, 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 good. His nose knows no pathway of roses, no flowers that bloom in the spring. For it's catch as catch can for the scavenger man. Posterity, where is thy... All right, we're done.
That was so good, man.
All right. Hey there, this is Seth Waters from Channel 9 here at Dev Intersection in Las Vegas, here with Anthony Vanderhorn. How you doing, bud?
Good. How are you, Seth?
Good. We're kind of Microsoft newish kind of people, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us what you do, my friend.
So I work on a product called Glimpse, and I've been doing it for the last 4 or so years now. And actually, it was here in Vegas, so we launched Glimpse.
Mix 11.
We launched Glimpse for the first time. Yep. And since then, it's been a wild ride. And just recently, Microsoft said we want you to come on board and continue working on Glimpse full time.
So it's you and Nick, right?
Yep, me and Nick.
That's fantastic. So how's it gone so far?
So far, so good. We're putting in a lot of effort to try and get stuff done in time for releases and stuff like that. But, you know, I think once we get there, it's going to be good. And I think people are going to like what we're doing.
That's awesome. So probably you already know about Glimpse. I talked to Nick, your partner, over at that conference. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can give us a little overview of what Glimpse is, and then let's dive into some of the more complicated topics.
Yeah, so just as like the 10,000-foot level of what Glimpse is, it's a package that you install in your project, and the idea is that just by doing that, you're going to start getting feedback on how your application is actually executing, as it were.
Right.
And so we're not so much trying to tell you that, hey, in production, your average request time is, you know, X, Y, Z. This is, we want to be giving you valuable feedback from the first line of code you write. Okay, so most tools like App Insights or New Relic or whatever else say, hey, come and talk to us once you get to production. Okay, we're like, hey, we want to be with you from development. And from that, we can be trying to give you insights into how the frameworks that you're using actually run. So a good analogy is imagine if Visual Studio had contextual knowledge of the frameworks that you were using and could change its debugging and diagnostics experience based on those frameworks.
Interesting.
Okay, so at the moment, a breakpoint doesn't fundamentally change if you're using MVC versus, you know, Nancy or something like that. Uh-huh. Whereas what we can do is we, through the tooling we have, and we'll see a preview of that soon, we can actually change the experience based on that knowledge, okay?
I see, so you're able to provide better context of where you are, in what framework you are, and maybe some information from that framework that will give you better...
Yeah, because a lot of frameworks these days have gone down the path of being like convention over configuration. Uh-huh. And so like if you put yourself back in the shoes when you were first learning MVC and like routing, it was like previously, it was like a URL equal to a physical file on disk. Uh-huh. Whereas now it was like, who knows where that thing could go.
That's right.
And so trying to like learn that and get an understanding of what the system thinks is happening, mm-hmm. Is really important. And so we can actually get in there and ask essentially the routing engine, what did you do to fulfill this request? Okay, and it'll give us all the information back, like the decision trees that it went through, or the decision process it went through, and then we can present that back to you, the developer, and you can go, ah, okay, it took this bit from the query string and applied it to that parameter, and that added to this default, which ended up, you know, at this particular action being executed.
And just with routing, I mean, if you have sort of a long list of routing rules that overlay on top of each other, it's good to know. It's like having a it's like having the F12 tool for CSS to know, oh, this one's applied here.
Exactly.
And not that one.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy.
Awesome.
And so, but one thing we try and do too is that a request isn't just what happened on the server, and it's not just what happened on the client. A lot of tools, like the F12 tool, say, hey, we'll do you a really good job of what's going on here on the client, but when you're looking at the network tab, the service is black box.
Yeah.
Again, likewise on the server, I can be doing all sorts of profiling on the server, but the client's a black box.
That's right.
And so what we, because we live in the context of both the browser and the server, okay, we can start stitching that picture together from, you know, hey, this mouse action equaled this, you know, network request, which equaled, you know, this series of actions on the server, which all of that came back around onto the client.
That's awesome. Well, let's see what we can do.
So at the moment, if we have a look at kind of the first version of Glimpse, This is kind of what you'd be presented with, okay? So you'd have Glimpse down here at the bottom of your page, and as you're navigating around, it would be providing you kind of like real-time feedback. So we can see these numbers, okay, down the bottom here, actually changing in real-time as we navigate around. And we can even mouse over these if we want more details of, you know, what the parts are made up of, or the machine name, or for instance, we want to know, we can see that 6 queries occurred on this page, but we don't know, like, where that occurred. So we might go, hey, look, you know, just at a high level, did they all happen in the one action? Were they spread out, or, you know, whatever else happened? So this is kind of a glimpse at a high level. And again, this is V1, okay? This is what we've already out there. You can install this today for .NET, you know, 4.4.5, you know, even web forms we've got insights for. Okay, and from that, you can open up kind of like this panel-like experience. It feels a little bit like F12 tools, but it's not. It's just all HTML and JavaScript that's embedded into the bottom of the page. And so we can see things like, here's, you know, the view resolution engine, you know, at work, and what decisions it made and what information it chose to pass through to the view. Or we can look at the execution engine and what it did. So we can see that, hey, look, you know, this particular root action occurred, but then for some reason, the cut summary child action, okay, was the one that took the huge amount of time. Okay, and from there, you could even start tracking through, well, you know, did that actually get taken up in a SQL query? And yes, it did. This SQL query took, you know, 450 milliseconds to run. And so now, you know, I'm narrowed in very, very quickly into, you know, where my problem was. And I can even see that in a visual way if I want to here. So here I can actually see that, right, you know, this command was the one that took out the vast majority of the request time on the server. So that's what's there today. Since coming onto Microsoft, and even before joining Microsoft, we've kind of thought about, you know, what is the next evolution of this experience and this style of diagnostics? Because what we're seeing here is a whole bunch of tabs, and those tabs change depending on the frameworks that we have. So that's kind of like the framework level insight that we're talking about. So we've got like the execution and model binding and routing tabs because we're using MVC, okay? Mm-hmm. If we were using a different framework, we'd potentially get a different set of tabs there. So we've said, well, what's the next play on that? You know, where is, you know, the next place we could go? And so that's what we're working on back here. This site isn't as pretty as the last one, okay? But we can, as you can see, we're navigating around, assuming that the Sterbo is working. Yeah, it's just executing. Cool. Okay, so we can navigate around, and you can see that we have HUD working again. Now, that part hasn't really changed, okay, and it probably won't change too much,
right?
Because our feedback from users is that's one of the coolest things about Glimpse is, you know, this kind of in-page experience and this feedback as we go around. But where we do want to kind of make the next step is if you think of like debugging and diagnostics, if you hopped in a plane and flew at 10,000 feet, okay, what would you want to see, okay? And, you know, after talking to users and thinking about that ourselves, HUD is kind of that example. And then like the 9,000 foot view is this mouse over, okay? So it's like, oh, I need to step down a little bit further to see where the breakout was in, you know, the controller versus the view here, okay?
Right.
Or the action versus the view. And then it might be, well, you know, what's the next level of detail? I want to keep flying down the levels.
Mm-hmm.
And in Glimpse V1, once you get past HUD here, everything's kind of flat tabs.
Right.
Okay. So what we're trying to do is with Glimpse V2 is continue the metaphor. So if we have a look here, I'll open up Glimpse. And again, don't get too caught up on the exact UI here. You're seeing stuff that we've only really shown publicly, like I think once or twice before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're still very much working on this stuff. But one of the things we're trying to do is here you can see the detail of the request that just occurred. And but instead of having to go to like the route tab and see what the route was selected in the route tab, then go to the execution tab and see, well, what was the root action that occurred, and then going to the model binding. In this case, there's no model binding data, but you'd actually see it in brackets here.
I see.
And so we're trying to pull together and say, okay, what is the mental model that a developer has of an MVC request? And I typically think about it as, you know, the route, the action, the model binding that occurred with that, the view that executed as a result, and any data access activity that occurred within that, and then any child actions or view components, you know, in MVC 6. And so this is where we're headed, and this still needs a little bit of work. You know, one of the things we can start doing with some of this stuff is actually navigating around in real time. So you'll see glimpse in the background as, you know, I navigate from page to page is actually keeping in step with me, okay? And so part of the idea here is that, you know, and this is more compelling on not a laptop, but you could imagine two screens, you know, I want my debugging and, you know, like informational digest of what's going on, you know, on one screen versus glimpse, versus my application and navigating around in the other. And, you know, hey, even on a laptop here, I can still have that keeping in lockstep with me behind the scenes. And then it's like, oh, something's going on here. You know, I want to actually check that out. And that's the screen that I'm seeing behind me here.
That's interesting, because usually these kinds of operational details we worry about once we start moving into staging environment, mm-hmm. where maybe it's a little too late.
Yeah. Well, if you think about the cost of fixing a bug once you get to staging or, you know, to production, it's really expensive. Like, let's say you accidentally triggered an N+1 query, which is, you know, like you accidentally got into a loop and triggered like 100 queries. In development, you might even know that that occurred, okay? Just because you don't have enough data for it to really be a problem, the database is local, all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But then once you get to production, all of a sudden you've got this really bad experience for your users and they're complaining and you're trying to figure out where it is and like, how do you narrow that down without tools like this? And so, you know, normally it'd be trawling through log files, you know, all this type of stuff. And maybe even trying to get a copy of the production database and bringing it back into dev or something like this. And it's like, well, no, we want to be able to tell you that from the get-go. And so this is very early days for Glimpse V2. There's a lot of infrastructure that we've been working on to be able to do this in a highly performant way. Because one of the things that we want to do is be able to facilitate this sort of diagnostics in production.
Right.
So it's not the sort of thing that I think, like, let's say you've got a server that's got like 1,000 requests a second or something like this. You're not going to have Glimpse turned on for every single request that happens in production.
Right.
But you could imagine doing like, hey, look, a user's reported an issue and you want to be able to lockstep with them, you know, as they're navigating around the site and replicating their problem. And so you're on the phone with them doing that. Or maybe you're taking samples. So, you know, every 5 minutes you just want to randomly sample, you know, requests so you can see the details of what's going on here.
So you're saying that there's going to be tooling eventually in Glimpse that will allow you from the operator perspective to turn this on and off, like on request or on demand, or to sample a bunch of data to see what's going on.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Like some of that might be in Glimpse, some of that might be user code. So for instance, Glimpse just wants to know whether or not it should turn on for a given request. Yeah. And that's an extension point, okay? So it's just an interface that you implement and there's one method that returns a bool.
Right.
Okay, and you can get access to like the HTTP context, which is like, you know, cookies, the query string, and all this sort of stuff inside of that.
I see.
So if you wanted to base your logic on, hey, you know, if it's a developer, whenever a developer logs into production, or, you know, I've set a flag on a user's account in my own system, okay, but at the beginning of the request, I can get Glimpse to look to see if that flag has been set, okay, and then go from there. So it's really flexible because we could try and build something into the box, and we might build some basic strategies, but, you know, chances are they're not going to work for your scenario,
right.
Okay? So so we make that extension point really, really easy to implement so that you can get that experience.
That's interesting because then you can start to look at, for example, even say you have your high roller account and you want to make sure, oh, the high roller logged in,
let's turn on
Glimpse to make sure that they're having the best experience possible.
Yep, exactly.
That's interesting. And so now I'm assuming you can do some kind of injection to push that, whatever that interface is, in to make those kind of decisions about what.
Exactly. So in ASP.NET 5, stuff like that's very, very simple. And so this is what Glimpse V2 is built on top of at the moment. We are going to loop back once we've kind of get some of these things a bit more polished and whatever else, and start looking at, you know, trying to provide 4.0 and 4.5 support.
Awesome.
We're not exactly sure how far back we'll go at the moment, but, you know, we'll let customers, you know, give us some feedback on what they want there.
Cool. So this brings up two questions. The first question is, I was there in Mix 2011 when you guys won the show for Open Source Fest, but .NET has changed a lot.
Yeah.
So there must have been some work that you had to do that. So that's the first question. What was that like? And the second that we'll get into is, it feels like with this interface that you're talking about, that you might be moving to more of a plugin type of approach And let's talk about that too. So let's start first with the ASP.NET 5. How was that moving?
Yeah, so it was, I won't be honest, for a tool like Glimpse, it was pretty brutal.
Of course, I mean, you're getting into the guts of ASP.NET.
Yeah.
And now system.web is gone, and you probably relied on that a lot.
Yes, so classic ASP.NET, let's say, HTTP context was there. It was statically available. Wherever you were, you could access it, and the world was happy. Okay, but the world wasn't happy too, because you were tied to IIS. You had to host on IIS. You had no choice about that. And stuff like Web API and stuff like that was coming through and proving that scenarios outside of IIS were valid too, i.e. like hosting in a console or something like that. And so that meant Glimpse trying to support something like Web API was extremely challenging, because we made some fundamental assumptions about, and back in 2011, it was a good assumption, but things change, and I do fundamentally believe that we're heading in the right direction, but it just meant that because of the level of which Glimpse was operating, it was a big change for us.
No, and literally system.web is gone.
Yes.
Your HTTP context no longer is there. You probably had to do some kind of injection to get that back.
Yeah.
But the points where that happened is probably everywhere in your code you had to go and change those constructors.
And that was part of it. The other part of it too is the concept of HTTP modules and handlers, which Glimpse was fundamentally built on. So HTTP modules being code that you can arbitrarily run at the beginning, end, and a whole bunch of points in between of a request, and HTTP handlers being able to serve up assets like this UI that you're seeing here, disappeared in ASP.NET 5. Okay, now that doesn't mean that there's successes to that, and the successes being middleware is you can do some truly amazing things with middleware. But again, it just meant that it was okay, this is so fundamentally different. Do we try and build an abstraction layer on the V1 architecture where we say, hey, look, let's try and get the exact same code base working on ASP.NET 5, which is at the level we play, very, very different versus, the classic, ASP.NET, or do we draw a line in the sand and say, hey, look, Glimpse as it is at the moment isn't perfect, but it works for a lot of users. What would we do today with all the lessons that we've learned from developing Glimpse V1? And, how could we come up with stuff like this? And how can we scale our architecture even more? Because we ran into challenges, like in that production scenario, we wanted to be able to, have this style of debugging and diagnostics without having any side effects on, any other requests on the server. Which typically, when you turn on this level of diagnostics, there's a cost to be paid.
Of course.
So you might slow down every single request on within the application, or worse, across the server, when you turn on diagnostics.
That level of diagnostics, yeah.
Whereas with Glimpse, and particularly V2, we've taken a different approach, and we actually spent a lot of time working with the CLR team since joining Microsoft to look at, how can we have performant debugging and diagnostics in production? Mm-hmm. So we've actually gotten to the point that, let's say, really hypothetically, Glimpse adds virtually nothing to a request anyway. But let's say that we were doing something super, super expensive and it added 100 milliseconds to a request, okay? Which isn't the case, but just hypothetically. You might be prepared to pay that cost for a user that you're helping debug, or for a random sample that you're taking, but you're not prepared to do that for every other request on the server. We can get that now, okay? So we've created something called Diagnostic Source, and that's buried in the guts of .NET now. Mm-hmm. And so it means that from various frameworks, they can make rich data available to us in a very performant manner.
I see.
So it's super cool.
So you pretty much, you drew the line and then you move forward. Is that what
yes,
you decided?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so, and that's where the vision that we came up with was an agent server client model, mm-hmm. where the agent that collects the data is very, very different to the server who, essentially collects and stores the data, mm-hmm. Is very different to the client. And in Glimpse V1, that was kind of all together, and it was very hard to tease those bits apart. Whereas in Glimpse V2, we can have the agent installed on, let's say you've got 20 servers in the front end, okay? You can install Glimpse on each one, the agent on each one of those, and they'll be reporting back to a central Glimpse server that you can install wherever. And you know, then the client is attached to that, you know, reading the data from there.
Oh, I see.
And this is really interesting because Glimpse is, we still wanted to keep the super simple mantra. Usually when you think about, oh, I've got to install a Glimpse server or whatever else, literally a Glimpse server is file new project, empty project, add the Glimpse server package, and you have a Glimpse server. Okay, and you can just deploy that to any machine. It could just even be an Azure website. So you could be, you know, in Azure, for instance, and you could have scaled up to 20 machines. You've got the Glimpse agent package, you know, installed on that, and then you've got another Azure website over here, which was literally file new project, yeah, add the Glimpse server package, and you're going to point, you know, the agents to that server. Okay, and now you're set up. So we're trying to be really simple about that.
Well, this is awesome. So the ASP.NET 5, obviously, it feels like every team at Microsoft working in this space has had to draw a line and say things are different, so we need to be different.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
Yeah, like if you think about it, a lot of what we'd been building on for a long time was the result of decisions that we'd made 15 years ago. And, you know, new things like MVC came along and, you know, web API, and was trying to do things differently and trying to do things to help, you know, the problems we have in a modern world from a software development perspective. And it was extremely difficult to do that based on the decisions we made 15 years ago.
Of course.
And so I do think this is a really good direction that we're moving in. But from a Glimpse perspective, it also means that because of the agent server architecture that we've got, going back and supporting .NET 4.0 and 4.5 shouldn't be that hard. It should be much easier than we did the first time.
Sure.
And so in theory, if you've got applications out there and you've got some, you know, ASP.NET 5 stuff coming online, but you've still got a whole bunch of, you know, legacy stuff, you can still have, you know, just the legacy agent running on those web servers. Okay, you can have the new agent running on the new one, and then all reporting back to the server. Okay, and you still get the benefit of the new client and, you know, the new way of seeing all of this.
That's awesome.
So it's pretty cool stuff.
So we talked about ASP.NET 5 upgrade. Let's move over to the sort of the plugin thing. One of the things that you mentioned that's interesting to me is you said that frameworks, you can get sort of context-sensitive sort of information from particular frameworks.
Yeah.
Is that something that is provided from the framework end via plugin, or is that something that Glimpse has to know about?
That's a great question. So we've gone back and forth on this, and it's like, fundamentally, you know, we don't believe that like MVC should be tied to Glimpse.
Right.
Okay, which it should be an open ecosystem. And so what that means is that Glimpse needs to know about MVC, okay, not the other way around. Uh-huh. And so in doing that, though, we've had a lot of lessons learned from how we did that in Glimpse V1. And the way we did that in Glimpse V1 is it used a lot of the extension points inside of the MVC, for instance, like the view engine. Mm-hmm. We wanted to know on what was going on with the views. So what we'd do is we'd go in, wrap the current view engine in kind of like a decorator, okay, using the decorator pattern, and we'd put that inside of our own view engine that we know about that can tell us, hey, we're going into this view, we're going out of that view, and all this sort of stuff, and then we'd put that back. Now, that approach works, but it's certainly not perfect. You run into edge cases where people, you know, are trying to get their view engine and cast it and, you know, do things. And, you know, it turns out we can only go so far with that approach before we start treading on people's toes. So what we actually needed was something in MVC itself. And you might have heard of the saying that, you know, if you develop your application for not only what it does but for testing as well, you're inherently come up with a better application.
Yeah.
So what we've been trying to do practice internally as well, what happens if we take that one step further and go, well, not only for what it does, not only for testability, but what about diagnosability? You know, people should be able to diagnose what's going on with their applications. So some of that starts all the way back with logging and trying to be really intelligent about what we're logging and how people would actually consume that logging.
Okay.
And then other bits of it is like, how does a really rich experience like Glimpse build on top of that? And that's where diagnostic source comes in.
Okay. I see.
So the way that diagnostic source actually works is right in the bowels of MVC itself, inside of these decision engines that are going on, MVC can collect state information about the decisions that it made, okay, and then essentially publish that rich object via an event. And so just really quickly, I can show you a little bit what that's like. So here we've got the filter action invoker. So what we're trying to do here is decide, you know, whether when we're going to actually invoke the action that's occurring. Mm-hmm. Now, inside of here, we can see that we've got this before action method that's going to invoke, and then after it, in the finally clause, we've got after action method. And so here we're passing in a whole bunch of state into this extension method, and so you can see off the diagnostic source here. Now, what's actually occurring inside of those methods here is the actual writing out to diagnostic source itself. Mm-hmm. And so we can see that for a given topic, okay, we're checking a pre-flight, is it enabled, okay, then we're actually writing out the actual event and providing the rich data. So in here, if I'm subscribed to this event, I can actually get access to like the action descriptor, the execution context, and the filter. A little bit of a plainest example, this is a little bit more obtuse just because it's off an extension method. As you can see here, they chose a slightly different pattern, whereas instead of putting it into an extension method, they've just put it straight in here, okay? And here, we're actually deciding whether or not the view engine has actually found the view. Okay, that's really important from a glimpse perspective. If we're trying to tell you, you know, hey, look, you know, this view was successful or not, and that's where in the V2 UI, see how this is green? Okay, that's what feeds this. Okay, so here we're actually saying, like, well, if the view result was successful, come in here if we should publish the event, and then we've got all this awesome information about that. Okay, if it wasn't enabled, okay, if the view was not found, then we're going to publish a similar event, okay, but we've got a semantic meaning behind that.
So this is inside of MVC that this
is
happening?
Yeah, this is MVC's solution. So, you know, this is what the developers, this is the solution the developers work in day in and day out who are doing MVC. And so you'll find that these diagnostic source events are scattered throughout the system. And it's important to note, you might go, well, we've got a log statement here, okay, that's telling us the exact same thing that what this diagnostic source is doing. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of important differences here. There's only so much rich information that a log statement can provide us. So the logging infrastructure is actually quite cool in mm-hmm. VNEX. We actually have what we call semantic logs, and which is where we actually have rich data that's actually passed along with that log statement. So in this case, we're actually going to get, we could access for this log a dictionary that's got a key of view name, and the value is going to be this value. But we need more than that, okay, from a glimpse perspective. Sure. We've got a whole bunch of context that we're trying to provide you and intelligence around what we provide you. So we need a lot more than that. And so think of logging as more a retrospective thing. You know, like logging is more designed for like retrospective analysis and saying this thing did happen in the past, whereas diagnostic source is trying to tell you that this thing is happening now. Okay, here are the actual in-memory objects. And logging is designed to go out of proc, okay, mm-hmm. so out of process, like be written to disk or whatever else, whereas diagnostic source is, because we're dealing with rich objects, is all in proc.
Got it.
And this pre-flight check also means over some other technologies, if you've heard like of event source mm-hmm. or ETW and whatever else, those again are more geared towards sending data out of proc, okay, and hence they can only provide data that's serializable. And additionally, they don't perform the pre-flight check before the write statement has occurred. So this is getting some low-level stuff here, but it's really important for something like a routing engine, where the routing engine might have a million log statements that happen inside of that. We could mirror that with a million diagnostic source events that happen within that. But I don't know about you, but as a developer consuming this diagnostics information, I don't want to have to stitch together those million of events to create a story of what happened. So what we can do is, right at the beginning of the routing engine, they can do a pre-flight check to say, hey, look, is anyone interested in what's going on here? Okay, like the decision that I'm about to make here. If the answer is yes, I'm actually going to perform extra logic to collect extra state information about what's going on here. okay? And then right at the very end of that, I can publish the one event, which has got the whole decision tree and everything that's going on there, okay? Right. That's very, very different from logging, where I've got like 100 log statements, which I've now got to try and create a story out of.
Got it.
Okay.
And so Glimpse subscribes to these diagnostic source events that are happening in ASP.NET MVC.
Yeah, yeah. And so we're actually, because of the way it was done, diagnostic source has actually been pushed through to the very bowels of the CLR. So things like MVC can leverage it, Entity Framework can leverage it. We're currently talking with like the ADO.NET guys to get into like ADO.
Sure.
And likewise with networking, so that when you're making like a web API request or like echoing out of proc, we can actually say, hey, look, this request not only had you know, these three data access activities, which we'll eventually show you, it actually went out and made these three service calls as well.
Interesting.
Okay, and this is the timing around those and whatever else, which we haven't been able to get to date. And so this is kind of revolutionary for this style of diagnostics.
I see.
Even for yourself, if you're interested in tracking like SQL statements or something like this, it's really easy to consume.
So, I see. So say for example, NancyFX, mm-hmm. they moved to ASP.NET version 5, and they want to participate in Glimpse in a more rich manner. Yeah. Is their solution pushing stuff to diagnostic source events?
Yeah, so I'd be talking to them about, okay, well, what events, what diagnostic events are significant through your application? Let's publish those through Event Source, okay? That means not only us, but anyone can get access to that. And from that point, what we actually do is publish that into our own event bus. So this is a diagnostics tab, this messages one. But here you can see different messages that we're actually collecting and sending through to Glimpse about like the begin request and navigation timing, for instance, for the browser or whatever it happens to be. So here is a great example for the routing that's occurred. We can actually see the detailed breakdown of like whether or not the ID was optional, okay, versus the action. So we've got a lot more information than we're actually showing at the moment. Mm-hmm. So likewise with Nancy, if they publish that, we can have parts of Glimpse listening to those significant events, okay, and then pulling that across. And so an example of that is, and where this actual code is in Glimpse, is, and don't worry too much about the details of the structure of the solution here, but this is all of our inspection code for ASP.NET, for Entity Framework, for MVC, all of that lives right here. And when we're actually consuming this, we can actually see that like we're saying, hey, for this diagnostics event that occurred here, we want this to run, okay? And ultimately we're pulling out data and sending it over to the Glimpse server, which during development time is all in process, but you can distribute if you need to once you get to production.
I see. So does that mean that the Nancy folks will need to have you put something in there, or is there a way to inject that kind of stuff?
So it's interesting. Like fundamentally, at the end of the day, like we still need to flatten out the objects.
Yeah.
Okay. We still need to express, you know, from a complex object graph, which subset of properties we're interested in. So like this before action event that occurred here, it might have had 1,000 properties. Okay, at the moment we don't need all 1,000 of those. Okay, and the object may not be serializable, okay, because we need to deal with production scenarios.
Sure.
We don't need that. So somewhere along the line we need to express that, hey, look, these are the subset of properties that we actually want to send through to Glimpse. So some message transformation going on there.
Right.
Now, it's very easy to register that within Glimpse, particularly in the new world. It's the equivalent of setting an interface, and Glimpse discovers that interface, and away we go.
Got it.
But specifically for something like Nancy, we might decide that, hey, look, we want that for the benefit of the community. We want that in the box, okay, and it'll be one of the frameworks that we just support when you install Glimpse Agent ASP.NET.
Got it.
And so we haven't quite got there yet. But part of the technology for diagnostic source, which I won't get too much into here, is dependency management.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can imagine if we end up with a whole bunch of frameworks in here,
That
means the Glimpse agent needs to take dependency on all of these different frameworks. So as you can notice here, we don't actually have a reference to MVC or to Entity Framework. And likewise, if we were to support Nancy this way, we wouldn't need references to Nancy. And so we've really thought through some of these scenarios and trying to make it easy, because in the new world, we do literally have hundreds of packages, okay? And we wouldn't want to create Glimpse packages to mirror each one of those, because that's where those types actually live.
Got it.
Okay. And so likewise with Nancy, if it's made up of you know, 15 packages and the types are spread across that that they're actually publishing events for, we would have to have diagnostics packages that mirror those. We don't want to do that.
I see.
And
I see.
So that's part of the base infrastructure for diagnostic source as a way of dealing with that dependency management.
That's awesome. And so obviously there's other MVC type frameworks. I pick on Nancy's because it's one of them. Mm-hmm. So if you want to have like, is there a way to have your own like definition of what you want to show in Glimpse?
Yeah.
If you write your own.
So some of this is still being defined. So at the very least, you'll be able to say, hey, look, you know, I want to add an extra tab. And again, just picking on Nancy, I want to have a Nancy tab. Mm-hmm. Okay. But what we've tried to do is that web frameworks are more similar than they are different,
at least
at a high level. So every framework has a concept of a route. Mm-hmm. You know, they mightn't call it that, but there's some sort of concept of, hey, this URL just came in, or this request just came in with this URL. What server code do you want me to execute? There's some sort of thing there to make that decision. That server code that runs, typically it's not, you know, rendering the view directly, okay? Mm-hmm. It's doing some sort of logic and then passing on to some sort of concept with it, which is a view.
Sure.
So that kind of like high level support that we can provide within the UI to say, hey, look, if we know what your concept of a route is, your concept of an action, your concept of a view, you know, we can start stitching a lot of things together. And so that's actually what's going on with some of these messages here is, and we've just started doing this, is that we can see, well, here's the before action event that occurred, but you'll actually see it's got two types, this message, okay? The before action is kind of like the MVC type, uh-huh. and our unified type, okay, that we want to be able to work across any framework is kind of this action route,
Got it.
And so as long as they match the interface that we define by action route, which is fairly loose, it's not necessarily even a C-sharp interface, it's just, you know, by convention, these properties that we need to provide, we can start doing some really interesting things with that. And so we can show, we'll highlight that in the UI, where we want the users to know about routes, okay? And we can even name it, like if they want to have a specific name for what they call their routes, like they might call it a token or, you know, whatever it happens to be, we can even do that. And so that's the path we're going down with this stuff. So from the get-go, if Nancy is able to, or any other web framework is able to let us know about these concepts and map between the objects that they're publishing, let's say via diagnostic source, mm-hmm. into the message types that we would like to know about, we can light up a whole bunch within Glimpse. And that's a lot of what Glimpse V2 is based on, is kind of this concept of these semantic messages, and that you can get a hell of a lot of out of Glimpse as a framework author without that much effort. And the user gets a consistent experience as well.
That's awesome.
And but then you could still have, if you've got extra stuff that you want to show, custom tabs. But if we've done our job right, maybe you don't even need that. So for instance, routing here has, you know, at least at the moment, these two data points, okay, mm-hmm. like the mask and the name. So let's say in Nancy, they have something extra that goes along with that. You know, we're trying to figure out, you know, with the UI, like how would we, you know, allow this UI to be modified to be able to have that extra token be in there in a supported and neat way. And so it may be that, you know, route here has a default template, you know, and that we use, and framework authors can provide other templates.
Got it.
In the case of MVC, it sees that this is the before action action route, and those are the two types. We might have the default template targeting action route, okay, or whatever the semantic name is that we've come up for a given concept, but then we might override it for MVC and say, hey, we actually want to tweak it this way slightly, or something like that. So there's still really early days on that, so we haven't really settled on what we're going to do there. But for our initial release, you know, coming up in November, it's probably not going to be as open as that. We're just trying to get this done.
Awesome.
And then, you know, we're going to be pretty quickly iterating on, okay, how do we expand this open a little more so we can start doing things like that. But from get-go, we should be able to support having like iTabs and stuff like that, so that you can just say, hey, I just want to splunk this data to the screen in the way that you used to with Glimpse if you've ever extended Glimpse V1 before. And it's pretty simple. It's like you've got an object, so let's say you've got a shopping cart, mm-hmm. and you want to show the contents of the shopping cart because maybe the UI doesn't show what is all the properties that are in the object that mm-hmm. represents the shopping cart. So you can just return that to Glimpse, that object, and then we'll figure out how to render that to the screen. So it's a pretty low barrier to entry in terms of, hey, I've got this interesting data on the server that I hate trying to inspect via setting a breakpoint and then opening a whole bunch of, you know, drop-downs. So we can actually show you that to you here.
Well, this is awesome. So where can people go to find out more about Glimpse?
So at the moment, still getglimpse.com. But most of this information is targeted at Glimpse V1 at the moment. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in seeing more about what we're doing with VNext, GitHub's the place to go, and so you'll see that we have this Glimpse prototype repository. This repository represents work on the server components for Glimpse, and then if you're interested in the client bits that we're working on, you can go to the client repository, which is here as well.
Well, that's awesome, man. Thanks
for spending time. And reaching out to us on Twitter too.
So. Oh yeah, they're very responsive. So yeah. Thanks so much for spending some time with us, bud.
Awesome.
How you liking Dev Connection? Yeah. Intersections?
Yeah. So Dev Intersections great. Having a great time. Getting along to different talks and, you know, great speakers and attendees. So I'm really enjoying myself.
Well, thanks so much again. We're here in Las Vegas for Dev Intersection with Anthony. I'm Seth. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Have a good one.